I used to think that I had everything together. I used to think there's nothing missing in my life. So tell me, honey, how'd you up and turn the tables? Thinking of you got me staying up all night. Your end game's up, it all went out the window, baby, what can I say? I wouldn't want it any other way. Live and learn, and our love will last. Whatever I do is 100 times better with you.
And you're very welcome along to today's edition of Family.ie. I'm Ronan Johnston, and this is episode 2 in our series titled Prepare for a Great Wedding Day and an Even Better Life After. Last time we heard from a number of couples, some were still preparing to say I do, and the others exchanged their vows in the past 10 years. Let's hear a few of the highlights of those conversations.
So, what do you think will be some of the biggest challenges to deal with once you are married?
Wendy can't iron.
I can't iron. That's going to be tough. Terrible. And I really don't want to have to learn. I would imagine a big challenge would be if we're blessed enough to have children.
Over in Switzerland, they're so strict on time. They're so disciplined, whereas the Irish are just like, yeah. That's, I suppose, we're just trying to find a common ground between the two of us.
Sometimes I don't know where I stand with the Irish because they're so, so friendly. And I don't know, you know, sometimes is that really true or not? So I have to trust Graham because he was raised in this culture. So he knows, you know, how things were meant. So he has to translate for me sometimes.
I suppose agreeing on stuff, you know, like...
saving where the money is going to go.
Yeah, and about, like, appropriate time to have kids and like, is the appropriate... funding there for kids. I know it's a sad thing to say, but there's no point having kids if you can't afford them, you know.
I believe, like, for everything you need to have a strong foundation. Like for us, our Christianity, our ministries as well, I know there are storms in life, whatever storm we'll face, it will always come back to this being our foundation, that was what is going to hold us strong together.
The foundation is true, that the fact that we have not even stayed together is a very huge foundation, and the fact that we are friends now.
I remember coming home and I was beaming and I said to my mum, I think I've met my best friend.
There have been hard times, but even in that suffering that she is carrying, and it's hard on both of us, there has been some wonderful changes in that, and it has given us deep roots.
Things that just kind of get up our nose and stuff, so we try not to go to those places too many often, you know, to annoy one another and to be snappy with one another and just being careful with our words, really.
I think for us, I think the challenges we have to face is complacency. It's not to take each other for granted, you know, not to just go about your daily business and forget to show love to this other person, you know, so.
You know, when there's an extra bit of cargo on board, then it's better to know in advance where the pressure points so that you can prepare for those, maybe.
Those first few years, even when you're starting your family, you are at a level of sleeplessness that isn't there later, hopefully.
This is Family.ie. Coming up after this quick break, Stephen Carty welcomes the chairman of Alpha Marriage Ireland. He'll share some real-life stories that hopefully will help you avoid some of the common pitfalls in marriage. There's some great information for you no matter where you are in the journey, but if the wedding day is still ahead of you, you'll definitely want to stay tuned. In the meantime, you'll find more information about how to prepare for a great wedding day and an even better life after at family.ie. Again, that's www.family.ie. Welcome once again to Family.ie. More now of episode 2 in our series titled Prepare for a Great Wedding Day and an Even Better Life After. So far we've heard from a number of couples, some are still preparing to say I do, and the others exchanged their vows in the past 10 years. Let's think more about how to most effectively prepare for the wedding day and beyond. Stephen Carty welcomes the representative of Relationship Central Ireland as well as Alpha Marriage Ireland, Alan Morris.
You know, we've been married 25 years and I often say I'm on my 15th wife, all of them Diane, and how I've changed and she's changed through that time of life. And we want marriages to last a lifetime, and the challenges of that and the statistics are decreasing on marriages lasting lifetime. I think I just saw a statistic there of something like 50-something% of marriages only last a lifetime in the States. But marriage is great, and marriage is proven that is the best way to be for your health, for your well-being, to be married to someone that you love and feel connected to that person.
In the marriage preparation process, Alan, presumably you have a structured approach and it's not sort of just come along and we'll chat away for an hour or two.
Yes, we use the marriage course through Alpha and through relationshipcentral.org, and it's basically a 5-week course, and we separated it into 5 separate weeks because we like the couples to chat about things between each of the sessions. We deal in the first one is in conflict, the value of marriage and preparing, learning to communicate, talking effectively, listening effectively. You know, sometimes listening can be the hardest thing for all of us, to listen and listen. And when people feel understood by being listened to, they feel loved. That's the first one. Then the session two is about commitment. Why get married? What about this marriage covenant? What does covenant mean? Time together. And the changes in loyalty, you're leaving and cleaving. You're actually becoming your own unit together as you become married, and how that works and what way does that work. That's in session two. And then session three, resolving conflict. I often say conflict is an opportunity of growth. And how do we deal with conflict? Like when you're getting, before you're getting married, you feel, I'll never have an argument. We're going to be in this utopia of perfection. And, you know, differences come along and challenges come along and pressures come along, and how we deal with conflict, how we deal with our anger when we're annoyed. And my wife, Diane, she annoys me an awful lot sometimes and I annoy her. And how do we deal with that? How do we move through it and the challenges of that? And accepting our differences. You know, how do we accept our differences? And how do you deal with finances as well and the pressures? And, you know, if you're negative equity in your house, and how do we face that together? I love the analogy of actually how when we have problems, to actually put them out there and shoulder to shoulder face them together. And when we face things together, it's much easier. But when it becomes between us, it becomes much, much harder. And then forgiving each other. Like I spend my time forgiving Diane, and Diane spends her time forgiving me because I make mistakes and she makes mistakes. And how we deal with forgiveness and letting things go and things. I love the thing of unforgiveness is a little bit like swallowing poison and expecting someone else to die. It doesn't necessarily mean that what they did was right, but just forgiving them. And then session four, keeping love alive, developing friendships, discovering each other's needs, building our sexual relationship. And sex is a beautiful thing, and it's all part of the ingredients of marriage, and it's a special thing within marriage. And then session five is shared goals and values, matching our strides. I often talk about the three-legged race of life, and our marriage is a little bit like the three-legged race. And sometimes we can be in rhythm like the three-legged race, and we're walking well and doing well and coming along, and then start getting out of rhythm, and then we start chafing at our ankles. And in life it can be like that, and we actually have to kind of get back into rhythm again with each other, matching our strides, working out our values, creating an equal partnership, building spiritually together and things like that. So those are the kind of 5 sessions. I think when you asked me, Stephen, about all this, what would be something that I'd really say, I think expectations. What are our expectations from this marriage? And, you know, having, you know, knowing what those expectations are and having been in tune with those expectations before we get married and understanding those things is something maybe people need to look at.
I'm sure you have some experience maybe where people, you know, where they didn't prepare well.
Yeah, just, you know, if you're getting married, put everything out on the table. Maybe put out, if you've been living, had other partners before, you need to put it out there and discuss it so that you actually, there's nothing held back in all that. And we also, in the past, can have raw spots, hurts, unmet needs, disconnection from people in the past. And as a couple coming into a married relationship, we need to talk about some of those hurts so that the other person can understand that these are sore spots, if you like. Raw spots are like a rub of a wound that we've had in the past. And how and why do some people overreact in situations? And if this is a no-go area, that's a hard thing for a relationship. And how do we talk about those things so that we can understand each other in them?
I mean, would it be fair to say, Alan, that very often in the romance stage of the relationship, maybe before they're married, couples might be slowly reluctant to actually disclose those raw points, or they might not even be aware that they're there until they materialise sometimes during the course of the marriage?
Yeah, it is hard. You can't know totally everything about the other person before you get married. There's no way. But, you know, sometimes maybe it's not a bad thing to have had an argument before you got married. So you know how you deal with these arguments. That sounds funny, but, you know, how do we deal with these arguments? Like, the thing is, in the back of our book that we use is, are you ready for marriage? And then it looks at the share test. Do I want to share the rest of my life with my fiancé? Right? The character test. Do I regard my fiancé as being kind? The strength test. Does our love give me energy and strength, or does it drain me? The respect test. Do I respect my fiancé? The habit test. Do I accept my fiancé as they are now, bad habits and all? The quarrel test. Are we able to admit our mistakes, apologise and forgive each other? The interest test. Do we have interests in common as a foundation for our relationship? The time test. Have we weathered all the seasons and a variety of situations together? And, you know, these are kind of tests that kind of you have to think through, you know, this is if the person that you love now doesn't change in any way, are you going to be happy with that? I remember one person that got married and her husband-to-be smoked like a trooper and didn't sleep at hardly very irregularly. And she went into that marriage hoping to change all that. And it didn't happen. And they're divorced. And like we have to recognize that things may not change. And how can you accept that? Did that person have too high expectations that she was going to influence him in a totally different direction? And then even if he did change partially, is that going to be good enough anyway? I've often said in today's world, we have so much things to offer people. There's so much out there. The world's a smaller place because we can do anything nearly. And in all that, there's a negative thing to all that, in that we chop and change. We try this thing, it doesn't work out, we do this thing. Fast food, all these sort of things that race through life. But in relationships, it's only sometimes through hard times, through working in our relationship with other, that we go deeper in our relationship with other people. And in marriage, that's very much the same. You will go through tough times in your marriage. How do you face those times? How do you face into them and work at your relationship so that you can go down deeper, the lower layers of your relationship, that is into the core of that love of that person has for you and you have for them? And that's a challenge. It's not easy. Marriage is not easy, but it is fantastic. It is of great benefit. And sometimes, as I say, we wing it when it comes to marriage. We do our apprenticeships, we do our studies and things like that. But when it comes to marriage, we just wing it and we react. And I'd love people to be more intentional in how they work with their marriage. Do a marriage course, NCT it, as I say, or service it regularly as you go through life. After doing a preparation course, maybe in about 3 years' time after that, go and do a marriage course so that your marriage will run better, you'll deal with things better. And it's funny, the harder you work at your marriage, the better it gets.
Alan, given your experience of preparing people for marriage and working with people who are already married and maybe some of those same people who prepared with you, has the preparation really made a difference for them, looking with hindsight now?
Yes, there was a case where one couple there a while back there did a course down the country and they decided not to get married. I know that was a hard thing, but they decided not to get married. But there's other people that have done the marriage course and it's really opened up that dialogue. That's when they go on our marriage course, it opens up the dialogue of discussion and then you see a little bit more of the person and then you understand them a bit more and you understand why they do things the way they do and then you get into that sync with each other.
And I suppose none of us needs to be told what a marriage looks like when the partners are out of sync. This is Family.ie and episode 2 in our 4-part series called Prepare for a Great Wedding Day and an Even Better Life After. If you'd like to weigh in on the discussions, don't forget that our text comment line is 086-251-6886, and if you have any questions or comments at any time for which you need a reply, feel free to email us anytime, radio@family.ie. Again, that's 086-251-6886 or radio@family.ie. Welcome to the final segment of today's edition of Family.ie. So far we've been introduced to quite a range of people, some who are still preparing for their wedding day, some who walked down the aisle in the past decade, and before the break with Alan Morris, who along with his wife Diane, helps prepare couples for marriage on a regular basis. But now Stephen, let's hear from another couple who've been married longer than all of the couples we've heard from so far combined.
Well, I'm here with Peter and Fiona Perham.
and they're going to be one of our key advisors in the course of these programmes. So would you like to introduce yourselves, Peter and Fiona, please?
Well, we've been married for 4 to 6 years now. It seems a long time, but still feel young in our marriage. We have 5 children who are all married, one in Australia, and we have 15 grandchildren. So we have a very full life, family life.
So you've quite a lot of experience there.
We have a lot of experience to draw on just from our own direct family involvements in terms of the more specific thing of helping people in the marriage area. We got involved in that after about 6 or 7 years of marriage, mainly because we felt we needed some input and help with our own marriage.
And had you done any pre-marriage preparation?
We had done some
pre-marriage. We did a pre-marriage course. It was a 7-week course. In those days, all the pre-marriage courses were 7 weeks. And there was a talk there was a priest there, and then there was a talk by a doctor and somebody who's like to do with domestic economy kind of thing, telling you what to do in the kitchen. And
that was part of the requirement of the church to get married, wasn't it?
Yes,
yeah, it sort of still is.
It still is generally, it's not an absolute requirement, but it's generally what most people are encouraged.
But we'd no input at all about communication. We were told how to unwrap your chicken and how to put it into a Pyrex dish and what part of the fridge you should put it into. But and I still do that religiously because that was ingrained in my brain. And the doctor came on the night of the talk on sexuality, and he took the women into one room and the men into the other room, and he talked to us about what's going to happen on your wedding night and drew pictures. And then said, go off now and get married. And so we didn't know how to talk to each other. We didn't know how to do anything together, really. And so it was a case of, get on with it.
I think in retrospect, we could have saved ourselves a lot of anguish and pain and disillusionment had we learned how to communicate better and how to be in touch with each other at that emotional level. Because the sexual side of marriage doesn't work if you're not really in touch with each other at the emotional level.
Yes.
You're become strangers to each other. And that's something we had to learn gradually. We had to actually work at it. It seemed artificial at first, but the more we did it, the more we've had the romance and the joy came back.
Yeah.
Because it's like, how can you love somebody you don't know? And if I don't know what Fina's feeling, or I don't know what her emotional needs are, I don't really know who she is.
Yes.
And how can you love somebody that you don't know?
Just advice for couples who are, they've decided to get married, so they're planning for the wedding. Huge focus on the day and the big theatre of the event. But what about the journey to that day? And what happens in the weeks or months that follow?
Yeah, well, the wedding can take over huge focus, and it can go on for months. Planning and getting this and flowers and music and then the mother-in-law kicks up a fuss, or the sister doesn't want to wear the dress or whatever, and there's all hoo-ha and people are hurt and stuff, and it can actually take over your whole life.
Yes.
So your whole life, and especially for the guy who's a little bit on the outside of that, he kind of gets, oh Lord above, not more stuff and things. And so a couple can often even get disconnected planning their wedding because they're into different things. And but the wedding day then can be this. I know one mother recently, and her daughter got married, and she said she was so tense on her wedding day. She was tense about the fact that there was going to be children there, and they might make noise, and the music wouldn't be right, and she was tense about it. And so she said she could see the whole day she spent tense. She couldn't enjoy it.
Yes.
But her son got married. He was much more laid back about it, and they got married in a much more relaxed kind of way, and they weren't having any special anything. And she said it was a lovely, lovely day, lovely warm feelings. Everybody was, So you can put so much pressure on yourself for your wedding day. And then, as some people say, I spent 5 hours looking for a pair of shoes for my wedding day, and I spent like a half an hour doing a pre-marriage course, a 2-hour afternoon one or something.
Yes.
And you think, well, okay. And we did used to do the marriage fair, the wedding fair, and we'd be there in our little booth saying, people saying, would you like to come and see the flowers and the beautiful cars and everything? We'd say, would you like to do a pre-marriage course? And they'd be going, yeah. They'd come along and say, have you nothing shorter than a Friday night and a Saturday?
Yes.
And Peter said to one couple one time, how long do you want your marriage to last?
Yes.
They wanted something for a couple of hours, which is crazy. I mean, who would undertake any other major project in life without preparing for it?
And this would be the biggest investment you'll ever make.
Of the key bits of advice I would say is for the couple, and we say this to any couples who are preparing for marriage, is that make sure that you're both clear about the decision to be married, because it's very easy for the girl to want the wedding, maybe, and not really to discuss, do we both want to be married? Because if they're not agreed on that, they're sort of standing in quicksand. Whereas if they both say, no, we believe in marriage as a lifelong commitment, and we're both making this commitment, then you're standing on a rock. So even if things go a bit pear-shaped, you can go back and say, no, hang on a minute, this is not what we committed ourselves to, and you can sort it out.
Yes.
But if one of you is saying, oh, well, I didn't really want to be, I'm not sure I wanted to be married. Well, I mean, where do you go from there, you know? Yeah. So I think that's why a bit of marriage preparation means that they will have a chance to discuss those sort of questions. Mm. Discuss, do you want family? How big a family? Because they're not things to have, you know, say, but I thought we were going to have children. No, I never agreed to that.
Yes, I've heard of it.
That's not the time to...
Yes, I've heard recently of a couple who, after they were married, discovered that one of the partners didn't want children.
Yes.
Yes.
And that was unknown to the other one. I mean, you sort of think...
Yeah.
I know.
And of course, I mean, that's a huge problem for certainly for a Catholic school, because it invalidates the marriage because it's, you know, it's seen as part of the vows that you exchange.
Yeah.
But I mean, even at a human level, there are things that you really need to sit down and talk about, and about your careers. Is your career going to be the top priority, or is your relationship, you know, because you don't want to find a few years down the road that you're married to somebody and basically their career is
what really matters,
drives them, and that you're second place and you're sort of fighting for scraps of something. That can be resolved by people just, as I said, taking the time to talk to each other about these things. And you won't probably do that unless you do some sort of preparation course where you're sort of, those questions are put to you. Say, look, some people talk about it, their own experience. Now you sit down and discuss that together. And at least then you cover the territory, so there'll be you know exactly where you're both at with things and what you're committing yourself to.
It's very often at that stage of early marriage too, that, you know, you come back and everything goes back to normal, you go back to work and things, that it's not what you say, but the way you say it to each other that causes hassle. So, it, you know, begins, well, you said such and such and I said something. It's the way you express yourself to the other person, because you're kind of needy and you want them to be the same as they were. Yes. And yet you're back in the routine now and things, and all the bills are probably coming in from the wedding and
yes,
and stuff. And so it's learning how to be a little bit more vulnerable and caring, I suppose. Loving care really is very important. To say, okay, this is the person I love, and so I'll think before I speak, you know, and won't always react, and you know, try and we have to work on ourselves as well as the other person.
Stephen's asking about the months that follow. I think the months that follow are crucial. It's a period of adjustment. It's a period of adjustment. So I think you have to be a bit patient and forgiving, maybe, and recognize that nobody is perfect. You know, you're going to have to be generous and a bit tolerant.
Generosity and tolerance. Those may be fighting words. You've been listening to Family.ie, and that was episode 2 in our 4-part radio series, Prepare for a Great Wedding Day and an Even Better Life After. For copies of this audio series and many others, free to listen to or download for later, we hope you'll head over to Family.ie. You'll also find many helpful links and resources for every member of your family. If you can't find what you're looking for, contact us. We're honoured to help in any way we can. Again, that's family.ie. And tune in next time as we examine more keys to a great marriage and a great life together.
We were exhausted now. We were doing this course week in, week out. And I came out and I was conscience stricken one night, and I said to Mary, do you remember the communication marking? She said, yeah. I said, I only gave you 6 out of 10. To which she turned and said, I only gave you 2. You know.
The whole society has changed an awful lot in the last 15, 20 years. And how is the preparation for marriage different or significantly different?
Well, people don't come for a 7-week course anymore, for starters. They wouldn't give that commitment.
In fairness to the couples, life has got so busy and hectic that often people can't have, literally haven't got the time. So that has been a big change. It's clear that more couples are living together before they get married, and therefore sometimes they don't feel the need of marriage preparation.
So we hope you'll join us next time. Until then, on behalf of Stephen Carty, Roger Bassick and Anne-Marie Miles, I'm Ronan Johnston. We'd like to sincerely thank all of the couples and contributors to today's programme, and we thank you for listening. Slán tamall. Thank you for listening to Family.ie, helping families thrive.